Praise the Lord. That is a beautiful song and great, great truth in that. Thank you so much, Carol. Malachi. See, Tim, you got everybody doing it. Malachi chapter 3. We were here last week as well. And talking about the types of giving, we have been talking about a time for giving and the truth about giving, a testimony of giving, the trade of giving. And now talking about the types of giving. And a little different on a Sunday morning, especially last week. I had somebody kind of indicate, well, that was about as clear as mud. But anyway, talking about the body, the soul, and the spirit. And again, typically a Sunday night kind of a message. But I want to review some things, and we are going to talk about tithing. It is very clear in the scripture about, will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me, but ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. And so the types of giving, we started off last week with giving what is mine. This week we're going to start with giving what is not mine. And so, Father, I ask you again to bless our morning service. Certainly we pray if there's anyone here that does not know Jesus as their Savior, I pray that they would realize that Jesus died on a cross to pay for our sins so that we could be saved. And we do want to lift you up today, Father. We want to lift up the Lord Jesus and as the only way for a person to get to heaven. And I pray, Lord, that if someone's not saved, they'll get saved today. And I pray for Christians that you'll challenge each of us, certainly in this area. You say so much about it in your word, about our giving and having a part. And so I pray that you'll challenge us from your word today in Jesus' name. Amen. So we talk about the types of giving. And last week, talking about giving what is mine, the scripture, 1 Corinthians 10, verse 26 says, for the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. And so started last week with the idea that in a sense, everything is his. We know that. We understand that. But he entrusts us with some things. He entrusts us with finances. He entrusts us with jobs and responsibilities and stewardships and all of that. And so that's why we do recognize, and you have to kind of pardon me as I talk about giving what is mine, what is not mine, and all that. I mean, the truth of the matter is everything is God's. God could, it's all his. And the reason you breathe oxygen is because God allows you to. God gives us oxygen. He gives us that opportunity. We're going to eat later on, and you have your lunchtime, and God provided that. And you drink your water. God provided that. And on and on. And I think we all understand that, but God does entrust us, and he gives us a responsibility. And so last week, I just want to review, we talked about giving what is mine. In the morning service, we really keyed on giving our heart. The Bible says, Proverbs 23, verse 26, my son, give me thine heart. And our heart, we are a soul, the Bible says, and I'm not going to get back into that again. We are a soul, but we have a body and we have a spirit. And so I have choice with my soul. I can make decisions. God has allowed me to choose. God has allowed me to take all the facts, all the truth, and everything from his word and everything around me. And he's allowed me to make choices, to choose. And he says this. He says, okay, here's what's going to help you with any kind of giving. Here's what's going to help you with all your life. He says, my son, just give me your heart. Now, we talked about that, and literally that means give him our affection. It is a choice. When my wife and I met, I chose to love her. I gave her my affection. We talked about that, gave some weird illustrations last Sunday night. And what we're doing is we're giving our love. It is mine to give. And so when I choose God, I choose to love God. I choose to give him my affection. And God wants you to choose him. God has given us so much so that we will choose him. Now, the Bible says we love him because he first loved us. What is beautiful about God? Well, the fact that he sent his son to die on the cross to pay for our sins, it's amazing. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. I mean, that is the most beautiful thing in all the world. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life. Jesus not only died for us, but he lived for us. He lived perfect life so that we could be saved. And then he died for us. I mean, what more could he possibly do that would cause us to say, God, I love you? But then obviously we have those temptations we talked about. Our body It leans toward the world, our spirit. It is the possibility of having a relationship with God, and that is a battle that goes on. We'll not get back into that. But again, once he has our heart, once he has our affection, then other giving is not so difficult. And I gave this illustration, you know, as far as my own giving, my own tithing as a new Christian, and I still can remember how difficult that was for me to deal with. And it is for most of us when we're first saved. We don't, you know, it's hard to even imagine that. And I believe we were making, between us, we probably were making about $300 a week. We were just hadn't been married very long, and I started to understand that I was supposed to tithe. But it wasn't until I gave the Lord my heart that I could tithe and actually know that, hey, God's going to take care of this. This is a blessing to do. This isn't hard. This isn't difficult. This isn't people will sit in the pews and wonder, well, how do the lights get paid for? How does the heat get paid for? Some of you may wonder if it's even on, right? But how do the bills all get paid? How does that all happen? We have, you know, there's a budget out there on the table, and it's all, you know, figured out there. And well, how's all that? Well, it's that he may have meat in his house, and that we can have all these things so that we can pay the bills and everything. And that's tough. You know, that's a tough thing. And that first time, my wife, you know, she's had checkbook probably from the first day we were married, and she wrote out that check and gave it to me, and I put it in the plate, and it scared me to death. You know, I think it was probably $30. I think we made around $300, and it was like 30, and it was like, oh, you know, and you've heard the testimony. I watched it go down. I wanted to reach back out, and then I saw it go behind us, and I wanted to reach back and get it. And, you know, because it just was a difficult, it was just tough. But then I understood, and it became real to me as I grew as a Christian, that as long as I love him, anything that I have, it really, it's his, and he has access to it. And that's why I'm spending this time, and that's why we're talking about all of this. The Bible says this, look if you will, at Colossians 3, verse 2, and we did give this, I believe, last Sunday night. Colossians 3 and verse 2, and it really puts a good focus on what we should do and how we can do so many things for the Lord. Colossians 3, 2, set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. And just start looking, again, it's not that's all I focus on in my life. It's that's what I love. I love the things of God. I that's where my love is. Now, does that mean that I won't watch a basketball game every now? No, that doesn't mean that. That I've got a team, or I've got teams that I like, and all of that. But I don't love them. I like them, and I root for a team. But I'm gonna get my affection. My love is going to be toward heavenly things, and when it's toward heavenly things, then it makes it so much easier to deal with giving what is mine, is what we talked about last week. And so last Sunday night we talked about offerings, okay? Remember I told you we were going to do it all backwards. Usually you start with tithing, but I started with offerings. And so offerings are associated with sacrifice, cost. Offerings come out of the 90% I have left. We're going to talk about tithing here in a minute. That's the 10% that is God's. But offerings come out of the 90% that I have left. And what is an offering? It should be a sacrifice. We spent time talking about that. It is going to the storehouse, according to Malachi and other verses. It can be designated. It can go toward all kinds of things. But God said we can actually rob him by not giving our offerings. And what's that rob from God? Well, it robs him the praise and the thanks that is due to him. It robs him of the opportunity for me to tell him I love him. It literally takes away of a precious and a wonderful thing. I mean, I love to give to my wife, not because it's a holiday, but I love to provide and do things for her because I want her to know that I love her. And God, doesn't he deserve that from us? Offerings, as we talked about, are always associated, seems to be always associated with sacrifice. Go back in the Old Testament and you look at it. In other words, there is a cost. And therefore, it comes out of my 90% that I have left over that is mine. And it's just, God, I love you. It's just saying, God, I love you, or God, thank you. We get a raise, and well, certainly we're going to tithe on the raise. We're going to give the 10% on the raise. But then what are we going to do in, as far as saying, thank you, Lord? Well, I'm going to give extra and say thank you, Lord. I'm going to tell God, you know, the offering time, that's why it's not time to goof off. Offering time is not, it is a sacred time, a time of letting God know, I love you, God. When the offering, say, a lot of times people say, well, you know, this is the time I can check my texts and all that. No, it's a time where you're saying, God, you've been so good to me. You've been so good to me. God, here's you increased my income because I got a paycheck. And so here's your 10%. And God, I'm so thankful and I love you so much. Here's this, you know. And there is no amount stated as far as offerings. It just, the Bible just indicates there's a cost. And so first we give him our heart. And again, some of you're kind of looking like, oh man, this I'm going to be broke by the time I leave here. I understand what you're saying. But again, when we give him our heart, we're looking for excuses to give. We're actually looking. I'm trying to find an excuse. Hey, God's been good to me. God, how about the day that it doesn't snow? Throw another $10 in the plate. Amen. The day that it gets above freezing. Amen. You know, again, just... whatever. Offerings are like that. It's just, God, I love you. God, thank you for this. Thank you for that. Thank you for, and we looked at several offerings in the Bible and for different events and different things. And so, again, God deserves our praise. He deserves, and it ought to cost. There ought to be a value to it. More than just saying it, there ought to be, God, I love you. And just like, again, just like with my wife, just like with your spouse, somebody that you love, you look for the reason, you look for anything. Hey, I just want you to know I love you. I care about you. By the way, fellas, giving her flowers every now and then and saying I love you and giving her different things every now and then, that always works, amen? So again, we have giving him our heart. It's my heart. I give him my heart. I choose him. I set my affection on him. Then I can give my offerings. And I give offerings over and above the tithe. It has nothing to do with the tithe. It is out of my 90% that I have left over. I'm going to give him offerings. Then we talked about alms. And I don't want to spend, I don't want to redo the whole thing. But alms is an amazing thing. The word means deeds of mercy. And again, that is something that comes out of my 90% that's left over. And what is it? It's to help with somebody else's need. If you give God your heart, you are in tune with him, whereby now you're kind of looking with compassion for somebody that might have a need that you might be able to meet. You might be able to help them out. I'll never forget the first time we bought a young lady some shoes. And my wife still laughs about this because it was a young girl, I don't remember what grade, maybe third grade. You think she was only five? No, she was older than that. Anyway, and she needed shoes. She needed new shoes. And so I went with a staff member, and we took her to the shoe store downtown and bought her some new shoes. And my wife says, honey, you don't have to buy $40 shoes for it. Well, I didn't know. She said Walmart or Kmart or anyway. But you talk about something that's fun to help somebody with their needs. And the exciting thing about alms is it is private. The Bible talks about it. It's very, and we went through all that. It is private. In other words, my left hand doesn't know what my right hand's doing. Okay, that is the scripture where that's talked about, where your left hand, where you don't announce it. If you announce it, that's your reward. When you announce it, when you get up and announce, hey, I helped so-and-so, I bought them a meal or something like that, and everybody goes, oh, that's wonderful. That's your reward. But you're so much better to let God reward you. And he says he will. He will. Now, again, you don't do it for the reward. You do it because you have a heart for people and you want to help them. And it is a wonderful way to live. It is the way a Christian. And you're you know, you say, oh man, I have it worse than anybody else. You'd be amazed how many people that have it worse than other people give to other people to be a blessing. I see it happen all the time. I see it happen all the time. And what you say, how can they? Because they gave him their heart. They gave him their heart. And when you give him your heart, you have compassion like he has compassion. I've watched people give to help somebody else with a need only to have their need met and doubled on the same day. Wasn't planned. It wasn't by them or not by anybody, but it was planned by him because he controls all that. We have to come to a place where when we're giving him our heart, we're saying, God, I trust you. I trust you with my wallet. I trust you with my checking account. I trust you with my savings account that has nothing in it. I trust you, God. I trust you with all these things. So, the giving what is mine. We talked about it last week. Given our heart, which is ours. Our offerings, which are ours, come out of our 90%. Our alms, which are ours, comes out of our 90%. And now, number two, we look at giving what is not mine. That sounds funny, I know. And again, this is it's my own outline that I wrote, and so it may be kind of weird. But giving what is not mine. Tithes. Body. Spirit. Those are three things that we give that are not ours. Our tithes, our body, and our spirit. Okay, again, we're the body and the spirit thing we talked about last week, and that was a little odd on a Sunday morning. But remember this, I am a soul, and so my heart, my will, my choices, those are mine. God lets me make those. We're not robots where he says, you will do this, and then we automatically do that. He wants us to choose, but I am a soul, I have a body, and I have a spirit. And when I got saved, look at it, 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 19. 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 19. The Bible says, when I got saved, it says, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own, for ye are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Okay? So I am a soul. I have a choice. I can give him my heart or I can give my heart somewhere else. But it is mine and it is a choice that I have to make. I have a body and a spirit. And when I get saved, my Bible says, those are his. Those are his. We'll talk about that later on. But we have a responsibility then to give these things, though the word give is kind of unique because they're not necessarily ours, they're already his, but they're entrusted to us. In other words, when I got saved, I still had the same body. I might have, if it was my choice, I might have put hair on it. Well, back then I did have hair, but you understand what I'm saying. I have the body. I have a spirit. We'll get into all that later on. But now the words are different. The words are not, you know, I'm not going to give these things because they're really not mine to give. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to bring them, like the tithe. The tithe is not mine, but I'm going to bring it to the storehouse. Okay, those are terms that are used. I'm going to present to. I'm going to present my body to the Lord. I'm going to yield to his spirit. I'm going to, these are the ways that I give what is not mine. Okay, these are the ways I'm going to lay down my life. I'm going to do these things because I'm not really giving them because they're really not mine to give, but these are principles in Scripture that we are supposed to do, and therefore I call it giving what is not mine. Again, it all starts with our heart. You're going to have a hard time tithing if you don't give him your heart. Now, you can. You can, and Tim wants you to. He doesn't care whether you, well, he cares. He wants you to give him your heart, but he also wants to pay bills. But the key thing is, when we give him our heart, let me show you some more verses on this before we get it, because tithing, we're not going to spend a lot of time. John 14, verse 15. John 14, verse 15. Here it is again. And if you love your spouse, you say, oh, come on, preacher, everybody loves their spouse. If you love your spouse, you can understand this. If you love your kids, you can understand this. It just really begins to make sense when we put it in that sense. John 14, 15, if you love me, keep my commandments. If you love me, keep my commandments. Again, we're supposed to keep his commandments whether we do or not, but if we love him, it sure is a lot easier. If we don't love him, well, let's look at it. Verse 21, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. Verse 23, Jesus answered and said to him, if a man love me, he will keep my words. And my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. That's how it should be for the Christian. That is how our lives ought to be. It ought to be a relationship like that. We love him. Verse 24, he that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings, and the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. He says, if you love me not, the one that loves me not is the one that doesn't do what I say. Doesn't do it. He doesn't keep my sayings. And so, again, recognize that the Christian life, if we love God, we give him our heart, it is so much easier. All the thou shalt and the thou shalt not, though, it may be a battle, because there is a battle within us. It may be a battle. It's so much easier if, you know what, I love him. I love him. First John 5 and verse 3. And I make reference to this all the time because it helped me so much as a new Christian myself. And especially when I went off to Bible college, and a Bible college with lots and lots of rules. 1 John 5 and verse 3, it says, for this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. And his commandments are not grievous. And they are not grievous if we love him. It's just not that hard if we love him. Now, I'm not saying that it's not a battle. Paul talked about the battle in Romans chapter 7, and we referred back to that last week. Doing right, though, is made easier by loving the one we're doing right for. It is so much easier when you love the person, when you give them your heart, and you give them that affection, and you set your affection on heaven and on the things of God. And your affection is there. My love is there. And so when I run into something, God says, here's what I want you to do. It becomes so much. Well, God, you want me to do it? Of course. You know, the old saying, your wish is my command. Literally, it's whatever you desire, God. Of course I would do that. It just makes sense. As a new Christian in Bible college, I had a lot of things that had to be gotten out of my life. A lot of things. But when you get on an altar and you say, God, here's my heart. Those things, though they may be stuff I like, they may be things that, and certainly my money I liked, but God, I love you. I love you. And so that brings us to tithing. The first thing is giving something that is not mine, or bringing something to God that is not mine, providing something to God that is not mine, but it is his, but he's put it in my care. What am I going to do with it? What am I going to do with that tithe? Look back at verse 10. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. We like that last part. We love that last part. But sometimes the bringing is very difficult. Again, notice here he doesn't say give. He says bring. Bring. Notice he says the tithes, not your tithe. It's the tithes. Bring the tithes. Bring them to the storehouse. Okay, again, 10%, that is not mine. That is exactly what the word tithe means. It means tenth or 10%. 32 verses in the Bible have tithing or tithes, and then 200 verses refer to tithing in the Bible. There's a lot in the Bible about it. Again, how do you get the heat to work? How do you have a PA system? How do you have pews? How do you, again, the whole operation of the church is this, what is called the general fund, the tithe of God's people that is not theirs, that is His. We simply bring it. What's He do? He gives us the job. What's He do? He gives us health so we can work the job. What's He do? He gives us the raise when we need a raise. I'm thinking of somebody right now. I remember praying with them several weeks, several months, it seems like. They said, I need extra hours, or I need an extra bonus, or whatever it was. I don't remember now totally, but they wanted to give more. And they prayed, and they said, God, please provide that. And God did provide that, and there's rejoicing, and there's excitement. Well, obviously, God, I would assume, got 10% more, but that person got 90% more. You know, we always, yeah, but boy, that 10%, I understand, but is God God or not? And that is really what we have to look at. I'm not after your money. The tithe is His for His work. The offering is a sacrifice where I say, I love You and thank You, God, and You're wonderful, God, but the tithe is our obedience. It is very strictly obeying. It really is. Tithing is obeying. To not tithe is to disobey. Heads should be doing something. I mean, it is. That's how it is. Now, you say, well, that's kind of odd on a Sunday morning. I understand. God led me to preach on this today. And tithing is obedience. It is strictly obedience. Again, it's easier to obey. His commandments are not grievous if I love Him. You know what? My wife's requests, my wife, when she says, here's what I need you to do, or something like that, it's so much easier when I love her. I mean, I counsel people all the time, say, I don't love them anymore. And they're having all kinds of problems with just some of the functions you're supposed to do. Tithing is obedience. I want to give an offering. Amen. That's God, I love You. God, You're wonderful. God, thank You for being good to me. Thank You for providing this and providing that. Tithing, that's mine, God says. In fact, He's very, very stern in Malachi. He says, wherein have we robbed thee? And tithing is one of those things where we're robbing God. We're taking that which is His, and we're using it for whatever, that's stealing. And so since tithing is obeying, we talked about this last week, to obey is better than sacrifice. The offering is the sacrifice, the tithe is obedience, and we need to obey first. I'll have people all the time, well, you know, I gave an offering, and, do you tithe? Well, no. You don't rob God. Don't rob God. Well, I gave an offering to this, or I gave an offering to that, and it may have been a great cause, and you may have been very happy. But again, if you're not tithing, then you're disobeying God. It is His. It is not yours. When I learned this many, many years ago, it changed my whole thinking. It just becomes automatic that whatever was earned, whatever income, whatever came in, whatever increase I had, 10% of that is God's. If somebody gives me 10 potatoes, I put one potato in the plate. Amen? Yeah. Now, we don't really put potatoes in the plate, but whatever the value, it just becomes automatic. And for most of you, again, this crowd, so many of you, that is just automatic. It has been automatic for many many years. But I hope again that we can understand that this is it's not grievous. It's not difficult. Yes, it is a command, but I love You, God. I understand, God. I understand to keep the buses running. I understand to have heat. I understand to have lights. I understand that we have to have these things and insurance and all the different things. I understand all that, God, but again, I love You, and if this is Your plan, and this is Your program, and this is what You want, then you've told us very clearly how to do it. Let me give you just four things real quick and we'll be done. Number one is the portion. Look at Leviticus 27, verse 30. Could have gone to several verses. I'm just trying to cover this. I cannot cover it in a long-term kind of a study, but just kind of go through it quickly. Leviticus 27, verse 30. Again, there may be someone here who never heard this before, and that is always possible. Leviticus 27, verse 30, and all the tithe of the land, whether of the seed of the land or the fruit of the tree, is the Lord's. Okay, you see that? It is the Lord's. It is holy unto the Lord. And if a man will at all redeem aught of his tithes, he shall add thereto the fifth part thereof. And concerning the tithe of the herd or the flock, even of whatsoever passeth under the rod, the tenth shall be holy unto the Lord. And there it is. I mean, the tithe. It is the Lord's. And so 90% is mine, 10% is God's. Out of the 90%, I can give an offering. Out of the 90%, I can give alms. I can help people out. I can be a blessing to someone. Out of the 90%, I pay my bills and all that. 10% is God's. If, according to verse 31, if I defer for a time, some of you aren't going to like this, but if I hold out for a time, if I don't pay my tithe, if I keep it for myself, if I redeem it for myself, according to verse 31, then I'm going to add the fifth part thereof. What's that mean? That's 20%. So if I borrow the tithe, Tim, you like this. If I borrow the tithe, well, I'm going to 20% of my tithe is, you know, I'm going to pay that as, what do you call it, interest maybe or whatever. And a lot of people don't deal with that very often. But anyway, so here's an illustration. Tithe is, let's say your tithe is $100. And you decide to keep it for a time. You decide to keep it for a couple of weeks to pay a bill or whatever, which I don't ever advise. But anyway, you owe $100 plus 20% or $120. That'd be your tithe. That's what your tithe would be. Again, that's what verse 31 says. A lot of people, they don't practice that, but I would, and I think you should. But anyway, so, boy, that got things quiet. Notice Proverbs 3, verse 9. Proverbs 3 and verse 9. Somebody says, well, I've been behind now for a whole year. Well, you have a calculator. Proverbs 3 and verse 9. Here's another important thing. The Bible says, honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. There's a good word, increase. Because again, you know, we get into 1 Corinthians 16, it talks about as God prospers us, as he prospered us financially. And so we have first fruits, we have increase, we have income, we have whatever you want to call it, however you want to deal with it, what's that mean? And I get asked that question all the time in reference to tithing. And it is our gross, it is our increase, the gross. And the gross of our salary, our bonus, our benefits, our gifts, any of that, all of that. You say, oh, I'm going to be broke. I can't make it. Again, is God God or not? You know, there are all over this room, I guarantee, are people that tithe. And they tithe right. And they do it exactly what the Bible says. And God takes care of them as he promises here in Malachi. Very, very clearly. And so your salary, your bonus, your benefits, your gifts, all before taxes, amen, because it's the first, everything before taxes, what am I going to do? And so if my increase for the week is $300, my tithe is $30, period. That's all there is to it. You say, yeah, but what if I love God and I want to tell him thank you? Then you throw in something else. Amen. Amen. Boy, it's quiet. Scary. But that's our portion. 10% is, it's already his. You say, oh, I'm going to give it to God. Well, you can call it that, but in reality, you're just bringing him what is already his. And you're putting it in the storehouse that he said. And again, that's how you have lights and you have a church. But number two is the place. Number one is the portion. Number two is the place. Back to Malachi. In verse 10, it says, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse. The storehouse. Go back to Deuteronomy 12 and verse 11. And I realize I'm going real fast. I think for many this is repetitive. They've heard it before, but I just want to cover it. Deuteronomy 12:11, it says, "Then there shall be a place which the Lord your God shall choose to cause his name to dwell there. Thither shall ye bring all that I command you, your burnt offerings, your sacrifices, your tithes, and the heave offering of your hand, and all your choice vows which ye vow unto the Lord." There's a place. He calls it a place. A place where which God shall choose. You'll notice the storehouse is not plural. It is a place. There is a place to bring our tithes. Some people say, well, you know, I just give it to this and give it to that and all that. Again, God said there is a place. Go to 1 Corinthians 16 and verse 1. 1 Corinthians 16 and verse 1. "Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do ye. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store." There's our store again, our storehouse, our place to take it. "As God hath prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come." And again, there's our word, "as God hath prospered." You know, you say, well, I worked my job and I worked hard. But God is the one that prospered you. God is the one that provided the job. God is the one that provided you the health to work the job. The only way you really grasp that is when you don't have the health to do the job. And all of a sudden you're on your knees, and who are you asking to give you the health to do the job? As a new Christian, I can remember begging God to give me the job at RCA. Many, many times I have had to get on my knees and ask God, "Please, God, open the door so I can get this job." Isn't it a shame that when God gives us this job, we don't recognize that 10% of whatever I increase is His? And it goes in store. In the storehouse, it goes in the place God shall choose, His house, or the house of God. 1 Timothy 3, verse 15. And again, I am going very, very fast. 1 Timothy 3 and verse 15. "But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth." That's where the tithes are to go. And again, it's not a difficult thing. The difficult thing is you know, letting go of it. But when we realize this is God's, it's not ours, it's not mine. God gave me the job. God provided for me. God has met all my needs. God's doing all of that. And when that check comes in, first thing I do is His 10%. It's just automatic. It's automatic. Some call it a rent on life. You know, I don't know that I would say that, but you like the sun shining. You like having water to drink. You like having food for your belly. You like all these things. Then do what you're supposed to do. You say, well, heathen get all those things. Understand that. But I love these blessings that God gives. I love these blessings that God gives. Number one, the portion. Number two, the place. Number three is the procedure. And again, verse 10, it says, bring. Bring ye. Oh, bring ye. Amen. Again, we're talking about a place, and we're talking about the church, so bring it with you. Now, some people mail theirs in and all that, but the whole idea is this is my place. Okay, it's my church. It's my place where I am being fed week after week. It is my place where I have my children being watched in the nurseries. It's my place where I want those nurseries to be heated. Amen. It's my place. It's I'm bringing it to my place. I'm not sending it. I'm bringing it to the place that I go to. This is my church. It is your place. And again, the Bible said in 1 Corinthians 16, as far as procedure, it says on the first day. And that's when we do it. And again, we have the first day of the week. We have an idea this is a weekly thing. All right? And the Bible says all the tithes, you know, all of it, the whole. Well, you know, I think I'll just give God this much this week. And it's not up to us. All you have to do is have a calculator. You say, yeah, it scares me to use a calculator. I understand. But again, it is all the tithes. And he says, bring ye all the tithes in the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, that there may be provision, so that the house can operate. Amen? And since the tithe is God's, we have no right to designate the tithe. Hear it all the time. You know, well, I designated my tithe toward the bus ministry. You have no right to tell God what to do with his money. Now, your 90%, you can designate that all you want. In fact, designate the whole 90%. Tim's saying, hallelujah. No, but the point is, the 10% is God's. It just goes into the storehouse, and that's why we vote on a budget as to how it's spent throughout the year, and that's what happens. And so, again, it is the tithe is undesignated, and it works. Here's exactly how it works. Every increase, okay, every time there's an increase, weekly, biweekly, monthly, annually, whatever it is, every increase in our lives, okay, 10% goes to the local storehouse church. 10%, automatic. The one you go to, that's where it goes. That's obedience, okay? That's how it works, every increase. It's like I said, you get 10 potatoes, one potato goes in. Amen. That's exactly how it works. That's obedience. That's just obeying. Again, it's easier to obey when I've given him my heart. Your children will obey you a whole lot better when they give you their heart. It's much easier for them to obey when, well, you know, I love you, Dad. I love you, Mom. Well, go mow the grass. Okay. Go wash the dishes. All right. You know, boy, you gave in easy. There was no giving in. I love my parents. It's much easier when you love something or someone, much easier to obey. And so every increase, weekly, biweekly, monthly, however it is, 10% goes to God. That's obedience. Then I have 90% left. What am I going to do with that? Well, you're going to have to pay some of your bills and all that kind of stuff. How about praising God? How about, you know, the fact that you have a job? How about the fact that you have a house? How about the fact that the heat works? Several folks had some heat not working. Boy, it makes us appreciate it when it does work, right? And I'm gonna throw in some extra this week and just praise the Lord because I drove on snowy roads and icy roads and I didn't get in a wreck. And I just praise the Lord for that. And God, I want to give you some extra. And thank you, God, for being my God. And again, that comes out of my 90%. That can be designated or it can be however you want to do it. That's up to you. And you've been praying for so-and-so and God said, you know what? So-and-so needs 10 bucks. And so you find your little envelope or a little card or something like that. And you put that $10 in there and you put their name on it and maybe give it to a young person. Say, go give this to them. Don't tell them who gave it. And they give it and you watch them. You kind of stand over and watch and they open that up and they go, ah! And they're so excited, and it was the $10 they prayed for, and now they can go to McDonald's. Why? Anyway, but here, and you know, it is such a beautiful thing of how that works. You say, oh, man, but I'm not going to. Okay, wait a minute. We saw number one, the portion, number two, the place, number three, the procedure, number four is the promise. Okay, again, you say, you know, I'm kind of bored with Christianity, and I'm just not, well, let me tell you, you don't have to be, because you get in this portion of Scripture right here and live this life. The promise is true. He says this, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts. Prove me now. You say, oh, I can't do it. Okay, then you're not going to prove it till you do it. Prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that there shall not be room enough to receive it. That is a promise from God Almighty. Prove me, he says. Prove me. I still remember, as I said, the first time we tithed and haven't stopped since. That was back, we were probably either 18 or 19. And tell you what, I've proven him over and over again. He's never failed. The blessings, you know, again, blessings. Does that mean I'm going to be a millionaire? Probably not. What does it mean? But you know what it does? It could mean you've had millions and millions of dollars pass through your hands, pass through your life. You didn't even know it. It means a washing machine working a little bit longer. It means a car running a little bit longer. It means your heart running a little bit longer. I don't know. It can mean any number of things. It's just a blessing. And blessings that there shall not be room enough to receive it. That's why some folks are just so excited. And some folks are so gloomy. You know, tithing is such a wonderful, wonderful way to say, God, I believe you. I trust you. I love you. And of course, verse 11, I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes. That's the washing machine keeps running. Amen? You say, well, I got a Maytag. It. I understand. But I will rebuke the devourer, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. And all nations shall call you blessed, for ye shall be a delightsome land, saith the Lord of hosts. God says, prove me. And then I close with contrasting that to verse 9. After robbing God, ye are cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. You know, there are, again, I'm not the tithe sheriff. He is. But I can tell you this. I can tell you the Bible is true. And what God says is true. God says, prove me. But God also says, if you rob from me, there will be a curse. And it seems like the devourer will be turned loose. Seems like there will be things and problems and all these kind of things. I'd rather have the blessings of God any day of the year. And so here we again have something that giving what is not mine, and that is the tithe. And we bring it to the storehouse. It is 10%, and we do it easiest is with a heart of love. God, I love you. I'm going to do what you say to do. And I trust you, and I'm actually excited about what you're going to do. Let's bow our heads, please.